Welcome to another episode of Innovation Odyssey. This is the podcast for the global tech entrepreneur. Today, I have with me in the studio, Emporia Meng. She's the co-founder of MP Dream and Sense of Agency. Welcome, Emporia.
Thank you for having me.
How are you?
Good. It was a good weekend over Thanksgiving with family, and now I'm ready to get back to work.
So, is your family here?
No. Parents are in Malaysia and China, but I have extended family that live in Florida.
So that's good. I know how good the breaks can be. I live in Switzerland, and so I had kind of a extended Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Your outings with your friends is always Thanksgiving.
Did you have any turkey?
Yes. So we did. It was a very small gathering, and we never do the full turkey. We always just do a big turkey breast.
Yeah, that's more than enough.
Yes. I still have some good leftovers. We made great sides. I actually baked a pumpkin pie from scratch.
Oh, look at...
Anyway, I always start by asking my guests, who are they and what they do. Here's your chance.
Yeah. So, hi, everyone. My name is Emporia. I'm the co-founder of MP Dream and Sense of Agency. So MP Dream is a platform, specifically an app, and our mission is to help people gain more autonomy of their dreams and also explore them to better understand themselves. And their Sense of Agency is a marketing firm, and we specialize in data-driven strategies for tech and hospitality clients. A little bit of what I do outside of work, I work with Malaysian and Chinese organizations on cultural preservation, specifically for Eastern philosophy. I also serve on committees for the International Association for the Study of Dreams, a residential building in New York, and I'm also a mentor for the New York City Department of Education and my alma mater, Syracuse University.
Packed agenda.
Was that 30 seconds?
So the dream, MP Dream, take me to the beginning of MP Dream. What inspired you to start MP Dream?
So it kind of goes back to my childhood, where when I was a little kid, I would always get the most vivid dreams, whether it be good dreams or nightmares. And these dreams would be so vivid that I would go to my parents as a little child and tell them these stories as if they were memories. And I was almost convinced that they were real because of how vivid and real they felt. My parents thought I was crazy, but they just played along with it. They were like, yeah, that totally happened. And to this day, they still kind of make fun of me for it, saying that I had the craziest imagination when I was a kid. But more so from that, I also had really vivid nightmares, and they were really, really bad nightmares, to the point where there were certain periods of my life when I was around 8 or 9, and then again when I was around like 12, 13, where the nightmares were so bad, I would refuse to sleep because I would fall into sleep paralysis or I would get recurring nightmares of the same type. And so that's kind of the origin of where my fascination for dreams and understanding the subconscious better came from.
When you woke up from your dreams, did you still have some lingering effects?
So sometimes, and I don't really get bad nightmares anymore because now I know what to do. But in the past, when I've had really bad nightmares, sometimes I would wake up and I would be in tears because dreams play such a huge effect on our brain that sometimes when you wake up, you still feel the emotional effects of it, and sometimes like physical. So I've had nightmares before where I would wake up crying and it would take me like almost an hour to regulate my nervous system, or it would just completely like derail me for a little bit, and I would have to think things through, like, why did I have that dream? I've also had dreams before where I was going through some difficult things in my actual life and had helped me realize something that I didn't realize during my wake, and it helped me make a decision.
Did anyone else in your family struggle with dreams like you did?
Yeah, not out of nowhere like I did, but for them, it was mostly in periods of times where they were going through something. For example, if they lost a family member and they were going through the grieving process, they would get very frequent recurring dreams about the person who has passed away. And this is something that's actually very common when they're going through the grieving process or anything.
And in those years when you had these challenges, what did you do? Did you go to a therapist, to a doctor?
Well, I lived in Malaysia and China up till the age of around 14, and where I was living there, I would say mental health support was not the most accessible. And it wasn't really an issue with mental health at all, as much as it was maybe a sleep issue or just an issue with me having an overactive imagination. But when I was younger, there wasn't really like a dream doctor or something like that, that my parents knew. So I remember just as a little kid, I was just looking it up on the internet. Like, if this happened, what does this mean? If that happened, what does that mean? And that's when I found out that I experienced frequent like sleep paralysis and false awakenings and accidental lucid dreaming. That's when I kind of learned what all these terms were and how to fix them or get rid of them.
Have these dreams persisted as you grew through your puberty into, you know, being a young adult and an adult? Because you're also now in New York, so.
I would say I don't really get frequent nightmares anymore unless they're really negative, looming thing happening in my life. Then maybe things will reflect that or show me different sides of that. I was recent nightmare. It wasn't even a nightmare. It was just I was going through a really difficult decision in my personal life, and I had to make a decision sooner or later about something. And I had helped me realize and gave me a perspective of the situation that helped me ultimately make a decision, if that makes sense. You know, that's kind of the mission of what we're trying to do at Empty Dream as well, is help people realize that you can tap into your dreams and understand your dreams better to help you with your conscious decisions. And also, nightmares don't have to be, it's not like a permanent thing. You can, if you experience nightmares a lot, especially people who suffer, like are going through like grieving or trauma or anything like that, there are ways to eliminate nightmares or alleviate nightmares and kind of make them go away and not be as bad. Because I used to experience really bad nightmares all the time. So,
what triggered the starting of the company or the commercialization of these learnings?
So I met my co-founder last summer. We just kind of got to talking about, you know, we're both entrepreneurs, him for much longer than I have been. But we just started talking about our personal life and just kind of getting to know each other as friends. And then we connected over this fascination or passion for dreaming, more specifically. And he said that when he was in high school, his English teacher taught his class how to lucid dream. And it impacted him so much that he ultimately wrote his college education essay on it. And so it's about what's out there in the market right now. And there wasn't really anything there as what we had envisioned. So then we decided to create it ourselves.
What stage is the product in beta as being used?
We launched on November 11th. It's been almost a full month of launch right now.
And what does the app look like? Do you need to note down your dreams and the times and then it guides you? Is that what it does?
So I would break the app down right now into three categories. So the first feature, our most popular feature, is called the Dream Journal. So when you wake up in the morning or whenever you remember your dream, you go to the app, you put your dream in, and then it gives you insights on what your dream may have meant. And we're also developing a feature right now where you can put in any personal experiences that you may have had in your real life to the dream, and it'll further interpret for you, like why you have this dream and how it connects to your real life. And then it also generates an image of the dream to help you visualize it better. And this is known to help with dream reproducing lucid dreaming, if you'd like to. The second part of the app is called the Dream U, or the Dream University, where we have and are continuing to partner up with different experts and researchers and doctors on creating courses surrounding dream science and sleep science. So our first course, like our pilot course, is called Mastering Lucid Dreaming, which we developed with Dr. Antonio Zadra, who's a very renowned scientist in the dream science space. And that's already live. It's a 21-day course to lucid dreaming, taking people from like beginner to expert. We also have a bunch of different courses coming out about like nightmares, helping with like trauma, grieving, self-confidence. So we're going to keep adding to our library. Third part of the app is called a Dream Lab. And so the Dream Lab essentially has like meditations and notifications and just different things to keep you on track. So it's more of like a toolkit.
Are the users individuals?
Yeah, the users are individuals. So this is a B2C product.
Are you allowed to share how many users you have?
Yeah, so we launched about a month ago, and right now we have around 6,000 users.
And was the push for promotion, was it through like social media?
Yeah, so we do a mix of organic marketing and paid social.
Okay. And do you know the demographic of your users?
The three areas of where most of our users come from are the United States, the United Arab Emirates, and South Africa.
That is very different. It's spread out.
Yeah. And those are our top three locations of where most of our users come from and also where our subscribers come from. And the age range of our users are primarily 18 to 34 years old.
You think it locations are because of your, I don't know, that's the marketing push that you had?
Right now, we're only targeting English speakers because we only have an English version of the app in the App Store right now. I don't know too much about South Africa and the UAE, but I know there are certain countries out there in the world. For example, someone on our team is from Azerbaijan, and she was out in their culture. Dreams have always been a very big part of the conversation, like talking about what did you dream about last night? Like, this is what it means. So I know there are certain cultures that put a larger emphasis on it than the US does. So that could possibly be a part of it. But also at the same time, once we saw that these locations had the highest conversion rates, we just kept targeting our social campaigns to these locations. So it just naturally grew more as well.
I see. In the US, are there any locations that are more open than others?
I would say primarily in urban areas.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's normal.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that the other areas don't dream about it. They probably have other things on their priority list.
Absolutely.
Is this a paid app right now?
It's a freemium subscription, which means that most of the features in the app are free. But if you want kind of more premium features, you do have to sign up for a subscription. We have a 7-day free trial as well.
Okay. Do you see any links to astrology?
Not really. I know that on social media, like lucid dreaming is kind of this thing that not a lot of people know a lot about, and suddenly everyone's an expert. But I think what sets us apart from astrology and horoscopes and things like that, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love astrology, but we do have a team of people who are experts and scientists. And the information that we are putting out there is like triple fact checked and backed up by research and actual and user studies. So we're not just saying to people like, this is how you lucid dream and giving them a bunch of like random advice. It's actually coming from Dr. Zadra, who's, you know, a very substantial source in the space.
How big is your team?
Our team right now, including, you know, our advisors and part-time and contract people, it's approximately 5 people.
And are you on the lookout for fundraising?
Because we just launched last month, we want to be able to collect enough data to kind of make a case for ourselves. And we're on the right track to do that. But once we have a few months of data under our belt, we're going to start fundraising again.
You use AI, I assume?
We do use AI to generate insights and images for the dream journal.
How do you ensure that there are no biases?
Biases in terms of
AI.
So in terms of generating images, it's really a constant process of trying to fine-tune it and get the best quality image for what the user is inputting. In terms of insights, it's just through prompt engineering from our internal.
Do you use your app?
I do. I still get very vivid dreams, although they're not negative. I do still get dreams and I do plug them in whenever I remember them. And it is helpful because we also have a calendar view. So it is helpful to, for example, like this week I had a dream about, let's say, a bird flying over my head or something like that. And then I'll look through my calendar in the past few months and I'll be like, I had a dream on October 1st of a very similar thing. What happened in my life that day? And what's been in my life like this week when I had that same dream?
Why do people not have dreams?
There are many reasons why people don't have dreams or don't remember their dreams. I'm not like a medical expert or anything like, but I know that people who smoke weed don't remember their dreams. sometimes if they are under like drugs or alcohol, they don't really remember their dreams either, because you dream when you fall into REM sleep. So there's a multitude of things that lead to people not being able to remember their dreams, but everyone.
Okay. That's good to know, because I go through sometimes phases where I wake up, it's not a nightmare, but it's usually something not so great. And then it's probably there is because there's something that's going to happen in my life in the next 1 week or so that links the dream to the happening. And then there are some many, many days I just don't dream. I have good sleep. So I don't know whether I don't dream or whether I dream, but I don't record it.
Dream recall is actually one of the topics that Dr. Zadra covers in the course as well, and like different strategies to be able to help you remember your dreams.
Okay. These courses are paid?
Yeah. So the whole app is a freemium subscription. So, you know, everything is free except for certain things. And one of those certain things is the course. So it's a 7-day free trial. And then after that, it's $4.99 a month.
And this is obviously not your only gig, right? In the beginning, you told me few sets of things. What is Sense of Agency?
So Sense of Agency is a marketing firm. I co-founded this with a different individual, and we specialize in marketing strategies, consulting, and creative services, primarily to tech startups and also companies and brands in the hospitality space.
Okay. And does this come from your marketing background?
Yeah. So I did my undergrad, I majored in advertising, and my minor was in film photography. So storytelling, advertising, marketing has always been a mine. And then I went back to grad school and I studied information management, and my focus there was in human computer interaction. So I've always had such a strong affinity to marketing and creativity, but also having data that backs up everything and every decision that is made in that space.
Well, I had someone else who actually on my podcast who also had a human computer interaction, and he's done something very different. Entrepreneur, but just done something very different. I find that quite interesting. What drew you to that degree?
After I majored in advertising, I started working in several different digital marketing roles. And I just found myself wanting to be more data focused with the type of marketing work I was doing. So I would be doing things, for example, launching campaigns on social media, or helping out with like creative things. But I didn't feel like I understood why the decisions were being made. So I wanted to be able to understand the data of it better so that I could better inform the decisions that I was making. I don't know if I explained that well, but that's why I wanted to get my master's in information management. And I think that being able to do that has brought me to where I am today, where every marketing decision that I make, whether it be for Epitreat or Sense of Agency for my clients there, I can explain in detail why I did this and why I'm doing that and what this is going to get us.
I come from the world of data, so I'm always very happy to hear that. But you mentioned that your parents are from Malaysia and China?
My mom is Malaysian. My mom's a third generation Malaysian, and my dad is Chinese.
And they still live in Asia?
Yeah, they live in Asia. Home base is China, but they travel a lot and also live in Malaysia part-time.
Do you have a background in entrepreneurship? Like your parents, are they entrepreneurs?
Yeah, so my dad is an entrepreneur. He has built several companies and sold them also. And my mother helps manage a lot of our family investments.
And so growing up, did you ever think that you would go down the path of being an entrepreneur?
I think it's in my blood. I think that ever since I was a little kid, watching my father with all his different ventures, including some that weren't so successful, really made. Like as a little kid, I would have dreams about different ways of making money. I would be trying to convince my parents to like let me bake an excessive amount of pastry so I could sell them. Like as a little kid, I was so money focused that I just like money. And obviously, you know, not to an unhealthy extent, but I always knew I wanted to work for myself and build something of my own, whatever it is. And, you know, maybe what I'm working on 20 years from now is going to be drastically different than what I'm working on today. But I know that I will always be wanting to build something and build things on my own.
When you came to the US, you came to study?
Yeah, I came when I was 14.
Did you like the US when you came here?
So I came here alone. And when I first came here, the only people I knew in the entire country was my uncle and my aunt and my two cousins that lived in Pennsylvania. And so when I first came here, I lived in Connecticut, which is a few hours away from Pennsylvania. I had culture shock. I didn't feel like I fit in. I was very homesick. So when I first, it was my decision to come here, to go to boarding school. But when I first came here, there was definitely an adjustment for the first few years. But I think it taught me so much independence. It taught me so much resilience. And I wouldn't be where I am today if I hadn't gone through that experience.
How often do you go back to Asia?
I try to as much as possible, but it is a very long flight. So I try and go back at least once or twice a year. And my family will either come to me or meet me at another location at least once a year as well. My little sister lives in Canada, in Toronto, which is only an hour flight away. So that's not too bad. Now I have more family.
Do you think if you stayed in back in China, you would have been an entrepreneur?
I don't think it matters where I live right now. Wherever I end up in the world, I think I would have the same mentality of wanting to my own. Maybe it would be very different than what I'm doing right now.
I ask this question, are you an entrepreneur or an innovator? And I mean, from you, like we've just now heard that you are an entrepreneur. Do you think you are an innovator as well?
I think it depends on the day and it depends what I'm working on and who I'm talking to, because I love solving problems and I love doing ways that maybe aren't so common or orthodox. And I like coming up with creative solutions for different things. I think that every entrepreneur needs to be an innovator, and every innovator is almost naturally an entrepreneur as well.
Okay, fair enough. There were also a few other hats when you first introduced yourself. You were interested in education and I heard Eastern philosophy and art?
Yeah, so I have worked with several Malaysian and Chinese organizations on cultural preservation, specifically for Eastern philosophy. So a little bit of a fun fact, I'm the 77th generation descendant of Mencius. And so Mencius is very hand in hand with Confucianism. So when little kids were going off to the summer camp and sports camp, I was going off to philosophy camp as a kid and like reading Eastern philosophy and memorizing it. So that was really fun for me as a kid. But one of the larger events that I did was last fall. I supported the Malaysian Prime Minister in strategic communications for the Islam-Confucianism Leadership Dialogue in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. I've also worked in different capacities for other organizations, some smaller in Malaysia and China, for cultural preservation and also philosophical education. But yeah, that's kind of what I do on the philanthropy side.
And do you have a favorite book on Eastern philosophy?
The most popular, like easy read, for most people, is The Art of War.
I love it. It's a brilliant book. Oh my God, yes.
There's like all the Mencius books, which is what I read growing up. There's like the Confucian books. There's Lao Tzu. There's a ton of them. But what I would recommend is not necessarily reading the primary translated documents, because those can be very dense, but rather kind of like third party like books, where there's interpretations of it and it's much more digestible, because sometimes the translations don't really make sense either. And sometimes I'm reading it and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm reading right now, but it's very interesting. I mean, as any philosopher from, you know, the older days, some things can be very outdated, but it's always good to just take away what resonates with you.
Absolutely. Do you speak Cantonese or Mandarin?
I speak Mandarin. I'm not native, but definitely conversational, and I can, you know, survive day by day in China.
Can you speak Malaysian?
So Malay is a language that I did speak up until I was around 6 or 7. It's always a conversation in my family because we use a mix of English and Mandarin. And I speak Mandarin with my parents, but English to my sister. But then when we're all together, we speak like 80% Mandarin, 20% English.
Amazing. I remember you have a dog, don't you?
Yes, I have a 5-year-old Maltese and a 2-year-old Ragdoll. And they're the happiness of my life. I love them.
And you speak to them in Mandarin or in English?
I speak to them in English, but they're trained bilingually. Well, my cat is untrainable, but my dog understands.
It's interesting, right? How you speak multiple languages and to different people, you use it differently. And then languages are great, really.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting too because when I was little, I dreamed in Mandarin. But then after I left home, I started dreaming in English. But my inner monologue is like 95% in English, sometimes in Mandarin. The only thing I still process in Mandarin is math. So when I was little, I had a really hard time with mathematics. And so my parents hired a tutor for me. He spoke Chinese. And so I learned math primarily through Mandarin, and I went to a school that was English, like English was the primary language. So when the tutor taught me math, I would then take in the numbers in Mandarin and then solve it in Mandarin in my head, translate it back to English before I can output it. So Mandarin, sorry, mathematics has always been a very difficult subject for me.
As we're wrapping up, what is your outlook for dreaming, dream tech? And I'm also very interested to kind of hear, are there any challenges that you actually see coming up? Because this is fairly new.
Yeah, so my outlook in the dream space, a little bit just again about our vision and mission is we want to help people gain more autonomy over their dreams to be able to explore and interact with them more meaningfully to help them understand themselves better. We're trying to do this in a way that's accurate and credible. Some obstacles, as you mentioned, that we have faced or we probably will continue facing is that this is not a very saturated or a very mainstream space. And so there are lots of misinformation and inaccuracies out there. And we want to be able to differentiate ourselves from all that. And that takes a lot of education and it takes a lot of creating the right materials and the right marketing to be able to get that message.
Well, I'm excited because I can understand your challenges. I didn't have such vivid dreams, but I can see how you converted those stressful days into something very good for many, many people. And I'm very excited to watch your progress. I already saw a lot in the last 6 months, and I'm very happy to see more. And so thank you for your time. Thank you for explaining what MP Dream does. And it's lovely to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's lovely talking to you as always.